Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Broda. Our guest today is Melissa Coleman, author of The Minimalist Kitchen, 100 Wholesome Recipes, Essential Tools, and Efficient Techniques. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get started, a quick word from one of the sponsors that makes The Clever Cookster possible. Like the food we eat, not all mattresses are equal. But Pangea Bed's copper-infused mattress solves the problems common to inferior beds. Copper is antibacterial, preventing harmful microbes from growing in your bed. Plus, its heat-dispersing properties help your bed stay the perfect temperature. My Pangea bed feels safer and healthier than other mattresses I've slept on, and I love it. Head to PangeaBed.com to try it risk-free for 100 nights. Your bed will be delivered for free to your door in an easy-to-move box. Visit PangeaBed.com and use the code CLEVER for an extra 10% off. So you're also the creator of the Faux Martha blog.
Yes.
And you've now in this cookbook sort of come forth to share what is called your refreshingly simple approach to cooking. And I have to say, when I look at the cover of this book, I immediately feel calmer and better. Mm. And like I can just go into making dinner without all that chaos in my head.
Yes.
So how much of minimalist cooking is about sort of paring down what you're doing and maybe what you have, and how much of it is about the mindset?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I think when you pare down, then you have a more clear, calm mindset. At least that's what I found. My kitchen 4.5 years ago when I had my daughter, it just broke for me. It was really messy. Not with food. I had too many gadgets, not enough food. I couldn't get dinner on the table at a reasonable time. When we got to the table, I was angry and grumpy, which is not how I want to approach the dinner table. And so it broke. And I looked over at my husband one day and I said, I'm either going to fix this room or I'm going to quit cooking. I'm like, so dramatic. But lo and behold, I started the minimalist kitchen. I had no idea that that's what it was or it would even be called something one day. I just needed to solve a problem and what felt like a really big problem at the time. And now that this system is in place, a pared down kitchen, ingredients pared down, tools pared down, I know where my ingredients are. I know where my tools are. I know how to use them because I have just enough. I know how to use what I keep stocked.
So I want to talk first about tools and appliances because I feel like this is a place where people just get so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So what did you do? Did you just start donating things, getting rid of things, and what made the cut to stay?
Yeah, so first things first, when I started stocking my pantry or my kitchen 10 years ago, you go to the store and the store sells you things and you think the store is selling you the things that you need, which it sells you the things you need like times 20. And so I stocked all those things and I didn't realize, oh, I don't need all these pots and pans or, oh, I don't need all these knives in my knife block that comes with like 20 knives. And so I slowly started paring down, and it's been a continual process. I have this rule, because it is really hard to pare down and to know what you use and what you don't use. I have a couple rules, actually. But I have this box that I keep now in our basement. You could keep it in your closet, a space away from the kitchen, and you put things in there. And if you never go to retrieve them after 3 months, they were meant to be given away and not in your taking up space in your kitchen drawers and cabinets.
I love that. So the sort of transitional, like, trial timeout period for things that aren't quite earning their keep.
Exactly. I have one other rule, and it's the dishwasher test. If you have a dishwasher, you look and see what's left in your cabinets while the dishwasher is full, and that will help you see your kitchen from a different perspective.
So let's talk about ingredients. Mm-hmm. What does a minimalist ingredient list look like?
Yeah, so I keep about 20 spices, which sometimes when I say that, people are like, like it's suffocating almost that I took that many away. But I found myself, just like I navigate my entire kitchen and like I navigate my closet, I was using the same things over and over again. And so I decided to keep the things I was using over and over again. And a lot of spices, there's overlap. So I don't stock like an Italian spice. I will stock oregano, basil, thyme. I stock them all individually and then make my own spice blends, I guess, because there's so much overlap. Like oregano's in Mexican cooking, it's in Italian, and I just found it a lot easier that way. When you look at, you almost have to decompose the kitchen. You have to break it down, which is difficult to do when you're just trying to get a meal on the table. But I had the chance to do that with this book. So I've done the hard work and I've made the mistakes for you. So I started with my spice cabinet. I also really recommend looking at your grains. My grains were a mess. I had stacks of pasta, like every variety of short grain, because the recipe called for this type. So that's probably what I needed. And then I realized, no, it's just a different type of pasta. One short grain pasta will do, or one type of all-purpose brown rice will do. And so I started stocking that and getting rid of variety. Variety is wonderful. And in the case of the kitchen, you can create a lot of variety with a pared-down pantry.
So when you're cooking for a family, obviously sometimes people want to eat different things, especially if you're cooking with kids. What are your tips for people who really kind of want to pare down their having to cook a lot of different things, who want to simplify what it looks like for them to get a meal on the table?
Yeah. I started making bowls. Like, I think it's a common trend right now. We're eating food out of bowls rather than on a plate, like a separate, with these separate compartments. And I found that to be easier in that I could have a grain, I could have a vegetable, some kind of protein, whether it was meat or a black bean or a chickpea, and then some kind of sauce that pulled it all together. So that was a really nice way of me mentally just breaking down the different components of a meal and then composing it into a bowl. And the beauty of that is my husband doesn't have to add the jalapenos that I add. And I can also break that down for my daughter, my four-year-old daughter, who only likes the carrots and she likes them a certain way. I can give her that, but I'm still making one meal. I'm just serving it a different way.
Before we continue, a quick word from one of our Clever Cookster podcast sponsors. Looking for a breakfast that's worth skipping the snooze button for? Thomas's is the only breakfast brand that delivers a one-of-a-kind eating experience with its original Nooks and Crannies English muffins. There's nothing quite like that Nooks and Crannies texture, perfectly toasted to give you irresistibly crispy edges with a soft, warm center. Take it from a true fan. The secret to revealing that perfect Nooks and Crannies goodness every time is to gently pull your Thomas's English muffin halves apart. You can also use a fork to split them, just don't use a knife. Next, lightly toast each half and then top them right away with butter. Watch how the butter just melts and pools inside all those amazing little Nooks and Crannies spaces. It's a delicious burst of flavor in every warm, toasty, buttery bite. If you haven't had them already, you have to toast and butter some Thomas's Nooks and Crannies English muffins. They're truly like no other. And now, back to our podcast.
It sounds like a lot of sort of having a more minimalist kitchen is about looking for the places where we're being sold things we don't need, whether it's an Italian spice blend that overlaps with the spices we already have or a set of 20 pots and pans when really two will do. What are some of the kind of biggest ripoffs or most unnecessary things that you think people always buy and shouldn't?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say your pots and pans. I don't even know what the set is. I think the smallest size you can buy on Amazon is like a 10 to 13 piece set. And I look at my kitchen. There are even things I still need to get rid of. I have pans that look brand new. And the ones that look brand new are the ones that are not in use. But, you know, the hard thing too is I have this copper pot. I got a copper set of pots. And I have this beautiful stock pot. It's beautiful. It patinas. And I can't get rid of it. I'm having so much trouble getting rid of it. But my Dutch oven doubles as a stock pot. I have no reason to keep the beautiful copper pot, but it's so beautiful. So I'd recommend looking at your pots and pans. If you have an enameled Dutch oven, then it probably works as a stock pot too. Or maybe you have one too many sizes of saute pans. Do you really use all of those things?
But I love the idea, too, that there's still room for you to keep things because you love them, not because they're a necessity necessarily, but because if something sort of makes you happy enough when you see it or when you use it, that can also be worth making it part of your kitchen.
Totally. There's a quote. I came across it probably 6 years ago in almost – this was pre my daughter, but I was looking for simplicity because that's where I felt the most happy. And I came across this quote from Leonard Cohen, his book Wabi Sabi. And he said, Wabi Sabi is a Japanese aesthetic that means imperfect. There's beauty in imperfection. And it says, pare down to the essence, but don't remove the poetry. And whenever I'm approaching the kitchen, even simple things like spices or my pots and pans to my closet with my jeans, I like to consider the poetry. I am not a minimalist for the sake of paring down. Like, I'm a human, and I think it's good for us to understand our humanity and the role that it plays in the kitchen, in our closets, in our mind, in every aspect of our life.
Melissa, it's such a beautiful book. Thank you so much for sharing it with us, and thank you so much for coming to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Check out the book, The Minimalist Kitchen, 100 Wholesome Recipes, Essential Tools, and Efficient Techniques by Melissa Coleman, and tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.